Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, please, in your Bibles tonight. It's a blessing to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight. Dad kind of asked me, he said, well, I guess I should have you preach while you're here, and I didn't turn him down. So I preach twice every Sunday, and then Wednesday morning we do a prayer meeting in the morning, and I do that, and then I do a Bible study on Thursday night, and then twice a month we did an English Bible study, and I love every chance to open God's Word and preach or teach, and so I appreciate that tonight. I want to say it's a blessing more than you can know to be at Faith Baptist Church. There is no place like Faith Baptist Church in Bourbon, Illinois. No place like it to me. It's a blessing to see. I was going to say old faces, but that's probably not the best thing to say. It's a blessing to see people who have been here for a long time and have been faithful. And it's a blessing to see new faces as well. We have the chance to meet a lot of new people, and that's been a blessing. Probably the thing that blesses my heart the most is to see people I went to high school with and people that grew up in this church along with me that are here. Dad told me, he said, well, you're a pretty popular person. We had people, you know, want to eat or do whatever. I said, well, if you were only here for about 4 months every 4 years, you'd be popular too. But I know it's like that. But what I'm thankful for is the people who went to high school and grade school and are here every Sunday. They're teaching Sunday school classes, they're running bus routes, and they're just here, and I appreciate it. It's a blessing to see them out in the audience tonight, and I want to say thank you as well. Some people give things to Dad or Mom, and they say, this is for Ben and Ashley, and this is anonymous, and so we don't have anybody to write a thank you card to or thank personally, but I do want to say thank you to anybody who has done something kind for us while we've been here, and it's been anonymous, so there's an anonymous thank you for you, so or a general thank you to you. I guess it can't be anonymous since it's coming from me, but there's a general thank you to you. And we have it's only happened twice now, but it's becoming a tradition. We leave Madagascar the last two times we came back to the States. We've been asked this question before. No, we do not have McDonald's or KFC or Burger King or any of that in Madagascar. We have none of that. And we were told, I had a Malagasy friend in France who owned a McDonald's or two in France. I asked him, I said, Solifel, why don't you come back to the capital of Madagascar and open a McDonald's? I said, I guarantee you it'd be full. He said, well, the sanitation standards that McDonald's has is just simply too high. Those standards are just simply too high for Madagascar. That made me feel real good. The next time I went out to eat in Madagascar, if McDonald's is too strict for Madagascar, Lord, help us. I know he's not here tonight, but Brother Jeff used to tell us stories about managing at McDonald's, and Nathan Lockwood used to work down there, and burger falls on the floor, scoop it up, you know, slap it back on the line, you know, all that stuff. So, Brother Britt, we do not have White Castle, but I guarantee you we have the equivalent. I guarantee you that they don't call them sliders, but I guarantee you they taste about the same and they have the same effect. I guarantee you. If not worse. And if you ever come, I will treat you like you treated me to my first White Castle. I guarantee it. But we get on the plane to Madagascar. We leave a little after midnight. And then we arrive in Paris about 9 in the morning. Or 10, no, about 10 something in the morning. And then we usually, by the time we get our bags and we go through the customs and passport and all of that, and it's usually around noon. We go to the motel, and right there in the airport, and there's the hotel has a restaurant. There's all these French, you know, restaurants around there. But then I take the train, metro, I guess, in the airport, Charles de Gaulle Airport, and I head straight for McDonald's, man. I head straight for McDonald's, and we get fries and McNuggets and sweet and sour sauce and all of that. And we enjoy. Ashley and I went out shopping, and I said, we're going to go out to eat. And we go shopping, and we came back, and Dad said, where'd you go? I said, Burger King. He said, Burger King? I said, I haven't had a Whopper in about 4 years, so it sounds good. But we miss that, I guess. But really, we don't think about that. We don't think, when we come back, we think about it. We don't think about that. But what we really miss is are the people right in this room. We miss the fellowship. And so last night, I mean, just seeing Brother Thomas and singing. I remember you singing that song a lot of years ago, Ring the Bells, and seeing the kids that grew up, and now they're playing and instruments and singing. I enjoyed the music, but more than that was just all the people we were just able to be a part of. And so I want to say thank you, and we love you, and I don't want to do anything but just try to be a blessing to the faithful people of this church tonight. And that's all I want to do. Matthew chapter 1, a simple message, almost so simple, I hate to preach it, but it's just very simple. But I hope it'll help be a blessing to us tonight. Let's start with verse 16. The Bible says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Those are the only verses we'll read for the text. We'll look at other verses in a few minutes. Let's pray and ask God to bless the service, the message tonight. Lord, we thank you for the people who came tonight. It's a lot of faithful people here, Lord, who came, some from long distances. Many will get up early tomorrow and go to work. And so, Lord, we just want to be a blessing. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just not let anybody see anybody and anybody but Jesus tonight, and that you would be exalted, and that you would just use me, and that you would fill me with your power as I preach, and that you would fill every listener, Lord, as well, that you would just give them exactly what they need tonight. And I pray that you would bless this time, and we trust you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When we got back to the U.S., our body clocks, they're always messed up when we come back. So about 7 o'clock at night, you turn into a zombie. You know, your eyes start, you know, going like that, you know. And so we were going to bed about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and then we were waking up real early in the morning because it's daytime over there. So you wake up, and so almost the morning, I think the next morning after we got into Bourbonnais, Grandpa came out, and I think Luke and Jessica came, and we had some family come in. And so I was up, I think, 5 o'clock or maybe even earlier than that, I forget. And I was downstairs with Dad, and we had coffee, and we were reading the Bible and enjoying that. And I was reading this passage. I was going through all the generations and the begats and all that, you know. And I got to verse 16, and it said, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. And right when I got to that phrase, that verse, we heard a boom upstairs. And we knew who that was right away. It was Grandpa. And he had woken up. He had got up. He gets up early. And right when I read that phrase, and Jacob begat Joseph, Grandpa came walking down the stairs. And, you know, Jacob was Joseph's father. Jacob, not flesh and blood like we have, but Jacob was Jesus' grandpa. I never thought about that before. You read that, and Grandpa came down, and I was reading that, and I just looked at Grandpa, and I just thought about him for a little bit, and what he means to me. And I know, and what he has passed down to our family, and all that he means to me. And I thought about him for a while, and I know people in this room that your grandpa is the same way. Maybe you don't have a grandpa who passed something down to you. I don't know everybody's grandpa in this room, but I know some. I remember the day, Tim, when your grandpa passed away. I remember that. I remember you coming to school, and I remember you sitting in that class and tears coming down your cheeks. And I and everyone in that room knew how much your grandpa meant to you. Meant to him. And Danny and John, remember that? Did you take him fishing and all that? I remember, I see Matt Maxwell sitting back there. I remember when your grandparents used to come to the old building, and you used to come and see you guys over the holidays. And I remember how much your grandparents meant to you and what they passed down to you. I don't want to forget anybody here. I remember Brett, when your grandpa used to come. And I remember seeing him. I remember you talking about your grandpa and what he meant to you. I remember Mrs. Thomason talking about her dad and the influence he had in her life and how he kept her through nursing school when she wanted to quit and how he encouraged you to continue that and how God used that in your life. I remember the pains. I remember your mom. I know we're talking about grandpas, I guess, but grandparents. I remember your parents sitting in the pews in the old building. I remember your mom was my first Sunday school teacher in this church in the first grade boys class. I remember that and the influence. You guys would go see them and so forth and all that. I don't know Emily's grandpa, but it's very evident to see the influence. I didn't know her grandpa, but Brother Ross always talked about his dad. His dad. I remember that in college. And I never knew him. I never knew Brother Ross's dad. But he talked about things in his life that he did, character qualities he picked up. Who? From who? From his dad. And that influenced us as college students, even though we weren't his grandkids. And I remember the Finns and the Rosses used to have Christmases together when Ashley and Emily were little. And Brother Finn used to tell me, he said, Brother Ross's dad I would hear this just laughter coming from the room. He said, and Brother Ross's dad would be in there, and he'd have all the kids, and he'd be doing the one-liners and jokes. He was the king of one-liners. I'm looking for Brother Nemeth. I don't think he was the king of those corny jokes and one-liners and stories. And he said that his boys used to love to just sit there and listen to him talk. And what is that? That's influence. What is that? That's influencing generations. What is that? That is being able to just sit. I remember Brother Finn talking about his dad and the day that his dad, who was a Navy sailor in World War II, and how he heard the term cussed like a sailor, and how and then the day his dad got saved. And how then after that they would hook up get the old truck ready and they would go to church every Sunday, get the kids, get him and his brother and the two sisters, and they would go to church and the change in his dad. And I remember going to Arkansas and all the kids and all the grandkids and all the great grandkids getting to sit there, and he would open that Bible and read the Christmas story or whatever, and just to get to sit at the feet of a grandpa. And we don't know Jacob. I'm not going to try to fabricate a message tonight and tell you what a great man he was. We don't know that from the Bible. Maybe Joseph had a terrible example. I don't know what kind of a man Jacob was. But I do know this. We do know what kind of a son he raised. We do know what kind of a son he raised. And a lot of times, that is a good indication of what dad was like. Not all the time. Because sometimes you have a great Christian who the kids do not turn out right. Sometimes you have a terrible person who a great Christian, comes out of, and we see that in the book of Kings and everything like that. But we don't know. But Paul said into the Corinthians, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Do you realize that the people sitting in this room are worth more than any book that my dad could ever write about ministry or about philosophy or about how to build a church or what to do? The people sitting in this room that people are going, they're going to read, they're going to see, and they're going to read our lives. What are we? We are his epistle, known and read of all men. The greatest testimony is not what someone writes, but what they are producing. That is the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony for this church is the members that go out and the lost people see us in our lives. I do know that. I do know that Joseph's dad, Jacob, I do know he lived during the 400 silent years that Dad was talking about on Sunday. I do know that God had not spoken. And I do know that if he did pass it down to Joseph, that he passed it down by this book right here. That's what they had. They had the Old Testament. And they had the stories of what God had done and what God had done in their lives and what God had done before. And they had this precious book. I don't know if he did or not, but I don't know if he sat the kids down like many of our grandparents did and read from the Bible and taught and passed things down. But I tell you what, he raised a good man. He raised Joseph. And I want to just talk just three things tonight about Jacob. More about Joseph, I guess, but just about that thought. And Jacob. And Jacob, we will never know him until we get to heaven. We don't know what he's like, but we do know the son he raised. Number one, I want you to notice that Jacob raised a moral man. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. Moral. Moral man. Pure. Pure man. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her first born son. And he called his name Jesus. And when God the Father was looking for a home to place Jesus Christ into, he was not concerned about the financial situation. He was not concerned about whether they had a house on the lake or not. He was not concerned about what attractions were in the hometown. He was not concerned about, about talents and abilities. But he was concerned that he placed his Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, in a moral man's home. And Joseph did not know his wife until he could trust Joseph not to do anything to harm his plan. Now, I believe God would have worked his plan anyways, but he trusted Joseph. Why? He looked for a moral man. I cannot think of anything better that can be passed down than that right there, purity. I can't think of that. I can't think of anything, I guess, better than that. You know, I was looking, many of you can agree, you're shaking your heads and you're thinking about your grandparents or your parents, I know, tonight. But I'm going to tell you what, I never even questioned if my pops and my grandpa were moral men and faithful. I never did. I never went through life having to, well, I wonder what. I never did. I never had to do that. I never had to go through life wondering if my dad was a pure man. If my mom. I never, and you know what? I married a girl that has parents just like that. You can say we're not a perfect family. We have our faults, and so does hers, and so do your families. But I can tell you this, if you have had that heritage passed down to you, you have pure and moral parents and pure and moral grandparents, that is something of value. God still esteems morality and purity. We live in Madagascar, and I'm telling you what, we live in sometimes you see the filthiest things. You see the filthiest things. I won't get into it tonight, but just the, and it's French. Madagascar was a French colony. And you see these things. And the French have a very low, very low morals. Terrible morals. I mean, it's terrible. And you see these things. And what goes on, I am glad that our neighbors at least seem to be moral people. Because our other neighbors were not. And I won't go into that. But I am very glad to at least have that with our new neighbors. Let's look real fast. We've seen these verses 1,000 times. But look real quickly into Proverbs chapter 6. Let's get a reminder. Let's get a quick reminder of the consequences of what can happen. Just real quickly, we've seen this. We've seen these verses. We've been taught these verses. Nothing new. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 23. A father talking to his son. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom? and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Skip down to verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. I think it's good for everybody probably to come back and read these verses every now and again. And just be reminded of the power of the flesh and the power of Satan and what is out there against us. And just, I guess, be scared. I guess have a healthy fear of what can happen. You know, the Bible says, have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, but have no confidence in the flesh. A lot of times we rejoice in the flesh and we don't have the confidence we should in Christ Jesus. It's easy to have confidence in the flesh. When I played basketball, I never took a shot I didn't think I was going to make. And I missed a lot, didn't I? It's easy. But don't say amen over there, Brother Larry. All right. Yeah, that layup. But no. I missed a layup too, so at the end of the game. But no, it's easy to have confidence in the flesh. It's very easy. Look at verse 27. Can a man, can you, Lot, live outside of Sodom and keep pure? Can you, Samson, go down to the Philistines and see and hear and keep pure? Can you, David, look at a woman that you're not supposed to look at and keep pure? Can you, simple man, simple young man in Proverbs 7, pass by the wrong corner and keep from being caught? Can you? Can you, Christian, watch night after night after night, primetime television, and not have anything happen? Can you? Can you, missionary on the foreign field, let yourself flattered or be around the wrong people and without a local church like this there? Can you let yourself take liberties and not be burned? Can you take liberties at work and not have it get you? I don't know. I don't think so. Can you? We've got to be careful of what we watch. I don't know how the men in this church are. But I'm going to tell you what. I have to be careful. I have to be careful. One time I told Ashley, I said, you know what, Ashley? I said, let's get rid of this. The video, whatever it was. I forget what it was. Let's get rid of it. Because I can't watch it and keep a pure mind. And it wasn't something filthy and not talking about anything like that, but just the emphasis that Hollywood has and all that stuff. Get rid of it. Can you do that? Can you watch? Can you be around that? Can you watch that night after night and be around that stuff day after day and take liberties? Can you do it and it not affect you? I don't think so. And I don't think I can either. I don't think I can either. Morality, purity. Let's look at number 2 back in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And we should value. We should value and esteem when grandpa and dad and grandma and mom have passed down purity to us, a pure lifestyle. Look at number 2. I want you to see number 2 tonight. Very simple. He was a just man. Jacob raised a moral man. Jacob raised the just man. By the way, man. That means that Joseph was out of the house and Joseph was on his own. And that means that he had his own choices. That means he was a man. He raised a man that was moral. He raised a man that was just. That means not just someone who was very good at going by the rules, but then when they got their own liberty, their own life, they forsook it. He raised a man. Number 2. A just man. Look at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. A just man. I don't know that I can prove it, but that word just there means righteous. Righteous. I believe Joseph was a saved man. I believe he was. I believe he was a saved man. had believed, had his faith in the coming Messiah. How else can you be righteous? How else can you be righteous if you're not first, if you don't first have the righteousness of Jesus Christ at salvation? By the way, look at the word being a just man. Not trying to be. Not following a righteous system. No, that's something that he was. Something that was coming from the inside out. We can follow righteous systems. We can follow things real well. But you cannot be, if sooner or later, it will come out. Because you will do what you are. You are. You know, and sheep may wander away. Sheep may be dumb. Sheep may backslide. But sheep don't go down like the pigs and just wallow day after day after day after day after day in the mud. They don't do it. They don't do it. And I just real quickly, I read a book about Madagascar and the animism. And they have things called taboos. And you know what's happened in Madagascar? They've had these traditions and these taboos, these long, a book about it. So long that the young people, the Malagasy today, they don't even know where the taboo came from, why they have the taboo, what the, you know, all they know is this is what we're supposed to do, and so we do it. And if we don't do it, this is what happens. Sin to them has nothing to do with breaking God's laws. Nothing. Sin to them is just, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I didn't do that. And so when I do this, when I break this taboo, then this is what fixes that taboo. And you know, I got to thinking about that. Boy, that is, maybe that's the problem with some young people. I don't know. It's not anything that you are. It's not anything in your heart. It has nothing to do with God or His Word. It's just, this is what we do. We go to church on Sunday. We go to church Sunday night. We go to church on Wednesday night. We go to team soul winning on Wednesday. We go to this. We do this. And if you don't do this, you get demerits and you got to go, you know, you got to apologize. It's just, it's just what we do, what we don't do. What we do, what we don't do. And you can follow a religious system. Madagascar is full of people who go to church on Sunday and they follow the religious system at church on Sunday. They follow the animistic traditions Monday through Saturday. And it's just a lineup of just... And you know what? They're not righteous people. Because they're lost and they don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I believe, first of all, that means he was saved. Now, I want to just real quickly here. Just. You know what I see in this verse 19? And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I see kindness. I see forgiveness. I see love. Forbearance. Humility. Discretion. I see wisdom while he thought on these things. Thoughtfulness. That's what I see in these verses. And look what it says, not willing. That is the same, those are the same two words that the Bible uses in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 when it says that God is not willing that any should perish. You know what that is? That's will. That's a choice. Not willing. That was a choice Joseph had to make. There was no, well, you know, no, it was a choice. He made a choice. I am going to be kind. I am going to be loving. I am going to forgive. I am going to eat humble pie, if you will, and just let all the rumors go around town about my fiance and all the reproach that came on my family and everything, and I'm just going to eat that humble pie. I'm going to put her, okay, yes, put her away, but put her away privily. And not make a public example out of her. And that's big time. That's big stuff. You know what it was? It was a choice. That's what it was. And then it says, was minded. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. The Bible says that the Spirit is willing. You know what that is? That's spiritual. That's spiritual. That is something that has to do with the Spirit. Not human side. That's spiritual.
When Joseph made this choice, that was a spiritual decision. That's what it was. He made that choice. And you notice that it started with the choice and it affected his mind. Go over real quickly to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll see verse 7 real fast. And just real quickly, I just want to point this out. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 5. Well, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not, what's the next word? Subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Look at chapter 7, verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know the problem with the carnal mind? The problem with the carnal mind? It's not subject. That's a will. It's the unsurrendered will, and that's why we have carnal minds. And that's why we can't forgive. And that's why we can't be kind. And that's why we can't love. Well, I can't. I can't. It's shortcomings. Well, you know, my dad was like that. You know, my mom. Well, you know. No. No, the problem is, you haven't chosen to let Christ do His work in your life. You have chosen to keep the carnal mind, keep the flesh. Well, I can't do that. Well, no, you can't, because your flesh can't. And you have not, you do not have a surrendered will. And I don't either when I do this. You don't have a surrendered will, because Christ wants to forgive. He forgave us. He wants to love. He wants to be kind. He wants to forbear things that happen to us. You know why that happens? Because it's the unsurrendered will. And that's why. You know, and that spirit that Joseph had as a righteous man, showing forth the righteousness and the Spirit of Jesus Christ in his life. He made a choice. So let's show number three and we'll be done. Number three. I want you to see lastly, again, so simple. He was a moral man. Jacob raised a moral man. Jacob raised a just man. Jacob raised an obedient man. Verse 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Skip down to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. Verse number 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother. And verse number 21, and he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. You know what that, you know what happened? Joseph just let the word of the Lord, the word of God, just direct his life. God said something, okay. Just followed the word of God. I can't think of a more important thing. I can't think of three more important things that can be passed down to us, and in many cases in this room have been passed down to us, that I need to see evident in my own life. Purity, righteousness, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and just following the old black book. That's been passed down to me. It's been passed down to many of you. Sometimes from grandpa, and then dad, or grandma, and mom, and now it's in our hands, and now Brother Larry, and
Now we've got kids. And I pray that our kids will have a dad that is pure, is righteous, and just lets this book lead. Wherever, whatever God says, that's what it is. I've watched it. No one's perfect in this room. No one. But we can't have those three qualities. I've seen those passed down to me. I want to pass them down to my kids. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. I thank you for the people that came tonight. I pray you would have blessed us and blessed them and helped them through your word. Just simple, just your word. But, Lord God, how we need it in our lives. And I pray that this Christmas we would repay you by living, realizing what you've done for us. You forgave us, you washed us, you justified us. I pray that we would love you enough to just simply be righteous, pure people who follow you, whatever you bid us to do. I thank you for this church and what it means. I guess we'll all stand and the instruments can play. If the Lord spoke to your heart, come forward.